morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this second Sunday after Pentecost. We will be celebrating communion today, so if you wish to join us, have a piece of bread or a cracker available and something to drink. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, and our youth pastor, Glenn Roundsville. Mr. Dave is taking a vacation day today in New York, watching the Yankees play the Sox, the Red Sox. Good for him. Pastor Glenn, please call us to worship.
Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world and we rejoice. The righteous are joyful and delight in the Lord. They are excited and shout for joy. As we enter worship, we praise him. Amen. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name. We will praise you with all our hearts and glorify your name as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time we share our announcements. There will be a special meeting Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for the Board of Trustees. We have two or three items that we feel we need to discuss as quickly as possible. So, if you're on the Board of Trustees, we hope that you will be with us. Are there any other announcements at this time? Please feel free to unmute yourself and call it out.
I just want to let the confirmation parents know that the confirmation Bibles are in the CE building right outside the office there. And the building is open from 6 to 6, Monday through Friday. So you can pick those up when you need.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Glenn. Any other announcements? If not, then let us begin the Sacrament of Holy Communion. This table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow in Christ's way. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is given to you and to me that we might know that God has come to us and shared our common lot, and invites us to join the people of God's new age.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at your table, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen.
Take the bread and eat of it, for it is a reminder of the body of Christ broken for you. Take this cup and drink of it, for it is a reminder of Christ's blood shed for you.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ gives. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us hold forth your praise in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in the Sacrament of Holy Communion. And please join us now in singing the hymn that Dave has prepared for us. It's found on page 57 of the hymnal, or you can find the words in the chat section at the bottom of the screen. It's "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
Tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth the broad, the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me.
We thank Mr. Dave for that, and this is the time we do share our celebrations. Once again, we celebrate Kathy Trowbridge and her helpers for the taco salad family feast last Friday, and I believe that was the last one until the fall sometime. I think we should celebrate a little bit more normalcy in the way we're living our lives now, being able to be about in some places without masks and so forth, and with most of the people that we know being vaccinated, hopefully. Are there any other celebrations that anyone would like to lift up?
On this coming Saturday, we will have graduation at my school, and it will be the final week of teaching during COVID craziness.
Indeed. Oh, congratulations. Awesome.
It's been a very good year, but also it's nice to be wrapping up because it's been a lot.
Yeah, it's been really difficult, hasn't it, with COVID and dealing with really small children.
But the kids are thriving. They're doing great. So that's also a blessing that we were able to do that.
Very good. Any other celebrations?
I want to celebrate that I'm having prom and graduation on Friday.
Very good. Congratulations. And we celebrate that with you. Yeah, I see some people clapping for you. I saw Jackie's hand up and then Barbara. Yeah.
Hi, I'd just like to say I got to see the picture of my great-granddaughter sent to me by my son.
Oh, nice.
Her name is Chloe. And if you want to see how gorgeous she is, she's on Facebook.
Oh, how nice.
Four months old.
Oh, a Facebook star already. Barbara, you had your hand up. You're muted, Barbara. Barbara, you're muted. You need to unmute yourself. You're still muted.
Here we are. Now, can you hear me?
We can.
My son, Sebastian, turns 50 years old today.
You're much too young.
That's what I'd say, too.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations and happy birthday to Sebastian. Anyone else? Am I missing anyone, Wayne?
Nope, looked good.
All right, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family, and they remain many. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include these people this morning. Loretta, Jennifer, Sue Winship, who is coming along after her treatments. Betty Brigham, that's Joe Brigham's mother, was due home a few days ago and will need time to heal. She has suffered a fall at home, and that's always difficult. We pray for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert. Ed and Janet Dyer were at Sturdy this week once again. They were in the same room, and now they've both gone off to life care for rehabilitation, so we'll keep them in our prayers. We remember Tyson Bowles' sister, Lee, Jane and her family, Brigitte, Len at home in hospice, and his wife, Nancy, of course. Bob Avoyan's sister, Marge, Corinne Elway, Donna Hickey, recovering from her surgery. She's doing well, Dave says. AJ, the Bishop Feehan hockey player who was paralyzed. We pray for Tyler, and we pray for all of those who struggle with addiction. We also remember those in the nursing homes, Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, Doris Brunel, and now, of course, Ed and Janet Dyer. And of course, we continue to pray for the end of this pandemic and a return to some form of normalcy. We pray for those who do suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation. We pray for our community. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray this morning for the ability to let go of unnecessary worry and anxiety and to focus on the reality of Christ's message to us in the breaking of bread. Clinging to the message Jesus brought us in his life and death and resurrection, we pray for peace. Help us to commit ourselves to praying for our enemies, seeking reconciliation with those against whom we hold grudges or resentments or hatreds, and grant us your blessed peace. Allow it to thrive in families who are working through conflicts or disagreements of daily life shared together. Use your peace to dissolve the rancor and bitterness that is pervading our nation at this time. Make healing ever accessible and let forgiveness become a practiced instrument of grace. May the breaking of bread each time we celebrate Holy Communion draw us together and alert us to our common humanity. And may the impulse of all people to be towards serving one another. We pray that you would bring your peace on those who are in need of your healing, both physically and spiritually. Be with those whose names we have spoken this morning and all others that we bring before you now in this time of silence. And finally, let the broken bread nourish us to work for peace in the whole world. We ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Take care of you. God will take care of you.
Beginning with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew records in chapters 5 through 7 a compilation of Jesus' teachings. In these teachings, he teaches the Lord's Prayer and many other things about prayer. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Please hear these words. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. When I was a child about 100 years ago, I used to watch a TV program called Art Linkletter's House Party. How many of you remember that? Raise a hand. Okay, I see I've got some people. Oh, Cora. Cora remembers it. This is good news. Very good. Well, it included a segment where he interviewed grade school children. The segment became so popular, it evolved into a show of its own called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And nothing much has changed over the years because kids still say the darndest things at home, in school, and in Sunday school. And here are just a few examples from today's world. A mother had been teaching her 3-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer. For several evenings at bedtime, the little girl would repeat the lines after her mother from the prayer. Finally, the little girl decided it was time to go solo, and her mom listened with pride as the child carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. She said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." Well, she nearly got it right. It reminds us that our children are growing up in a digital world. Who was it who just said something about when I told some kids that I was born before Google, they didn't believe it? That's a wonderful statement right there. But they are growing up in a very digital world. They are so much more comfortable than we older folks are, being on the computer and the internet and so forth. And children are, it's a matter of necessity for them now for school and Sunday school attendance during this pandemic, because most of that is being done by Zoom. So there was this little boy, and he was in a Sunday school class which was discussing this issue of prayer. The children all knew that the end of the prayer was always the word amen. And so the teacher asked, "Does anyone know what amen means?" And there was a very long silence. I find out that adults don't always know what it means. It means so be it. That's exactly what amen means. It's a way of saying that it should happen. Well, there was a long silence on Zoom, and then this boy piped up and said, "Well, I think it means send." And as a matter of fact, that's a very good answer. We're sending that prayer to God. We're sometimes surprised at the spin children put on things, and mostly it's delightful. And in some ways, I'm often surprised at the way Jesus expressed certain things. Jesus was an out-of-the-box thinker. He could afford to be an out-of-the-box thinker since his Heavenly Father invented that box, but it can be troubling to those of us who are not quite as gifted as he was, which of course means all of us. It's not easy sometimes to figure out what he is saying. First, Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer in those three chapters to be the model for all prayers. And Luke reports this prayer in a very abbreviated way. We usually use the one that's found in Matthew. But Luke recorded it this way: "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Later in the section Wayne read for today, he goes on to say, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." Well, think about that for a moment. Everyone who asks receives. Have you received everything you've ever prayed for? It sounds so simple, ask and it will be given to you. It's not always been my experience. There are many things I have asked God for that I have not received. What is Jesus telling us about prayer? These lessons are not superficial or shallow, like so many of our prayers can be. First of all, we learn that prayer is essential to the life of a Christian. Sometimes we will pray out of a sense of deep need. Other times we will be so filled with joy, we'll be driven to our knees in thanksgiving. And then there will be times when we'll be ashamed of some action or some thought, and we might pray, "God, have mercy on me." But to be a Christian means to pray. Not only are we to pray, but we are to persist in our prayer life, even if it seems that God is not listening, even if it seems our prayers are going unanswered. Jesus suggests that God knows better than we do that which we need. If human parents, with all their faults, know what is best for their child and when to say no, how much better does God know our needs? The second thing we need to see is that prayer works. Ask and it will be given to you. Jesus is not saying that everything we ask for will be given to us exactly as we think we should receive it. He is saying to us, however, that every prayer is heard. Every prayer is answered in some unseen way. Sometimes unanswered prayer is a simple no, as a parent to a child. We may never understand the reason, but we need to have the faith to continue to pray. And that brings us to the third reason we need to pray. How else can we learn from God's wisdom? How can we be wise in our time? If all prayers are heard, that means that God is listening. And so we go to God with our needs and God listens. A mother and her small daughter were discussing the dolls in a department store. Well, what does it do? The child would ask about each one. The mother would answer, oh, it talks, or it wets, or it cries. And those dolls were rather expensive, so the mother tried to direct her little girl's interest to an ordinary one that was much more reasonably priced. And she said, does it do anything? And the mother said, yes, it listens. And the little girl reached eagerly for that very doll. Harpo Marx, again, how many of you remember Harpo Marx, the Groucho, yeah, right, and Groucho and so forth. Harpo was, I think, the most popular of the Marx brothers. And his shtick, his part of the act was to remain mute, never to speak, and to just blow a horn or play on the harp. Harpo had never gone very far in formal schooling, yet he was welcome in some of the most sophisticated circles at that time. Someone asked him once how he managed to survive amid the wits and intellectuals of the Thanatops Poker Club and the Algonquin Round Table. And very simple, said Harpo, they had to have someone to listen. We all need someone to listen. There was a survey some time back that indicated, and this won't surprise us women, that indicated that 98% of the women surveyed wished for more verbal closeness with their male partners. According to this same survey, the most frequently cited cause of women's anger was, he just doesn't listen to me. You and I know that goes both ways, however. The truth is, we all need to listen to someone else when they are talking, and we all need someone to listen to us. And that is the importance of the life of the Christian. We have someone who listens to us. The important thing we learn is to trust God. Christ's teachings are best understood by the conclusion of this passage. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give it a stone, or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So keep praying. Pray for a final end to this pandemic. Pray for our nation in this time of violent division. Pray for our community. Pray for our church and its members. Pray for yourself to trust in God more and more. Amen. Thank you.
now receive the benediction. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So thank you for being here today to worship with us. And if you'd like to unmute yourselves and join in a little conversation and grab yourself a cup of coffee, feel free to stay for a while.